We're going to be looking at the kingdom of God. The more I look at this subject, the more amazed I am that I've never preached on it before, and that I haven't really heard a lot about it. There's a big library of books up in the pastor's office, all apart from three unread by me, and most of them have nothing to do with me. I've inherited them, but there were none there, and they're really random. If you ever want to borrow a book, come and see me. But there were none on the kingdom of God. And the more I look into this thing of the kingdom of God, I'm like, this is what it's all about. This is the bottom line. So, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to read some scripture, which will be up on there. We're going to be reading from Luke 12. Luke 12, 22 to 34. Same reading as last week, and I'll do a recap on that. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us the word. You've given us the word, the written word, the Bible. You've given us the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, and open up the word to your children, to your servants. Speak to us, O Father God, through your word. Come, Holy Spirit, and open up our hearts and our minds. Just use the knife, Lord, just cut us open and pour in that which you want to speak to us today. Put seeds in us, O God. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word. But Lord, we want to experience it. We want to grow in it, walk in it, in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And not just in an intellectual or just a human understanding. And we bring that before you and submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, okay. I forgot my glasses again, so this is going to get. I'm going to have to read it off here because I've got in a bit of a mess with this. Okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" I'm going to read that line again because worry is a powerful thing and you need to deal with it. And there's a powerful verse there. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? It's fruitless, isn't it? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I really encourage you to, to read the Bible, as you go through the Gospels, every now and then just slow right down. You know when you're going, you know, if you're banging on a motorway, you want to get from A to B, you go fast. You go by a country road, you go by a beautiful scene, you slow right down, you take it in, maybe even stop. And there are statements that Jesus said that are worthy of just meditating on and just holding on to. And that one there, for your where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, hidden in the middle of that. But that's not what we're looking at today. Just felt I should emphasize that verse there. So basically, this is the reading I did last week, and this is the verse that has stuck with me. I came to this looking at stewarding and the idea that all we have is from God, and God calls us to be responsible for all that we have before Him. We are just servants, servants of the Most High God. So there's the humility and the privilege. And there was this verse, don't be afraid, little flock. That's a beautiful expression. It's my dear friends. It's like a caring thing. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. And I was just thinking of that issue. The Father has given the kingdom to, well, he was talking to the disciples at this point. So he's, you know, to those who put their faith in him. To those who've stepped towards him. Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. Okay. So I'm just going to do a bit of a recap from last week. From those verses. So the Father wants us to be free of our worries so that we're available to be used for the kingdom. And not the other way around. Let me get everything sorted, Lord. When everything's sorted, I'll try and put some time aside to do something for you. Wrong way around. That's the clear message of that. Do not worry, for I am pleased to give you the kingdom. We are stewards of the king, and there are benefits and responsibilities that come with the position. And we looked at, you know, the benefits that the Father looks after you, he strengthens you, things that come with the kingdom, the healing and his presence, things that we've talked about today, the presence of God, he's always with you. He knows what you wanted. Prayer. Oh my gosh, there's a whole 5 months just on that. But there's also responsibilities. And the responsibilities include realizing that you are to share the good news of the kingdom. It's not a consumer thing. You're not the receiver of all this just for yourself. You are called to be a blessing. I've never done this before. I may never do it again, but I'm going to do it at this point. You were called to be a blessing. What are you called to be?
Blessing.
Hey, that was quite good. It's quite American Pentecostal thing there. But I just felt that we have to see that. That is our calling. The Lord wants us to be a blessing. For as you have received, give. Freely receive, freely give. The humble will enter the kingdom of God and the rich will struggle. Now that's clearly in scripture. It says the humble will inherit the kingdom of God. And there's lots of warnings about the rich. And the scary thing is here, guys, that we are the rich. Because we're not comparing ourselves with the sort of house envy and car envy and everything else we get through all the media and the fact of always saying what we haven't got. Look at what they've got. You need to realize if you take a global perspective, we are incredibly rich. In some countries, we would be uber billionaire stuff. So there are challenges there to do with feeling complete self-sufficiency, not really, you know, that there's a whole thing on that, but I did that last week, so check it out. Or email me, I'll send you it, whatever. And then the final thing is there's a hidden aspect to the kingdom of God. And this is a bit of what I want to try to unpack a bit today. And there was a mystery to it that's shown by the examples that Christ used. Christ said about a seed that goes in the ground, you can't see it. About fish in a net that can't be seen. About a hidden coin. And this is part of the problem with being really rich, because we want to measure everything and work out everything and understand and control everything. And there's this whole thing in the kingdom where the Spirit is moving and doing stuff that we don't know about. And we have to trust God. Okay. Now, time is a challenge. I'm going to add on a bit there. It's nearly 12 o'clock. I'm going to add on a bit because of the communion. But I probably won't use all these slides. I just need to... about an hour and a half. Well, I guess in terms of recap, 20 minutes would probably do it. Okay, this man, Gerwin in the white check shirt, quite a cool shirt, one of the elders, has given us this freedom. That little click was the doors locking. Right, here we go. So what is it? What is the kingdom of God? Do you know, I actually felt challenged by the Lord to come to this a few months ago. I was challenged to look at the gospel, and I was thinking, the kingdom of God. And I started to read up in some heavy theological sort of collections about it, and I just thought, my God, I can't preach on that. It's so complicated. And I actually just pulled away from it, because I just got, it just got so deep. But these are the, you know, sort of these theological things they say, you know, explain 48 words and all that. And the Lord moved me back to it through stewarding to say, have a look. It's, you know, it is actually quite simple. You can make it complicated. It is. So I thought I'd just explain a few little things. It's the same as the kingdom of heaven. Now, some theologians will go, oh, hold on a minute, you pleb. But what I'm trying to get at here is, you see, in Matthew, it says the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say the kingdom of God. What you've got to remember is that Matthew... it's primarily the gospel to the Jews. And there's a whole culture around the gospel of Matthew that's about making sure that it's acceptable to his Jewish readers. So he's going to be very careful about using the name God just all over the place. So he actually says the kingdom of heaven. And there's a whole Old Testament thing about what the kingdom of heaven was and everything, which I'm not going to go into. But basically, that's one thing to get... just to sort of help you. And the other thing is, it is not the same as the church. And there's a bit of sort of, there's a bit of working to do here. Because I thought, well, surely isn't the church just what the king? And the way I'd like to show it, and I didn't think of this. This came from New Bible Dictionary, which is a good source. It's like two concentric circles. So the church of God, in a sense... is contained within the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God, who knows how big the kingdom of God is? Because the kingdom of God is where God is moving, where he's bringing about his sovereign purposes. And the church of Christ are those who have said, yes, I trust in Christ as my Savior. I am trusting in what he did at the cross, and all of my good works and my bad work, everything, I'm just putting at the cross, and I'm accepting the life of Christ, and I'm accepting the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and fill me, and I'm submitting to the Father. So the church of Christ, and of course part of the confusion comes that not everything the church is doing is of the kingdom of God, clearly. And in our history, in the history of the church, my gosh, so this sort of gets this sense of it. It's a very crude sort of picture. I mean, in a way, the kingdom of God is not a, you know, just a blue circle. You say, oh, it ends here. Do you know what I mean? But it's a sort of bit of a dull attempt to try and get across that concept, just to show you that the church should sit in it. So, what is the kingdom of God? It's centered around Jesus. It's centered around Jesus. So here's a quote for you to wrestle with a bit, all right? This is something for you to sort of twist around your head a bit. In brief, the person of Jesus as the Messiah is the center of all that is announced in the gospel concerning the kingdom. The kingdom is concentrated in him in its present and future aspects alike. Okay, just let you read that for a minute. So I'm still working this through, okay? This is just about every preach I do here is I'm working it through. It's still becoming clear to me, you know, in the morning I'm doing it. Seemingly no matter when I start. But anyway, so I'm still working this through. So I'm going to throw stuff in as it sort of occurs to me with this. But when you're reading the Gospels and you're looking at the kingdom, That is a very good guide to keep it simple. I'll give you the name of this guy because I was really impressed with his name. H.N. Ridibos, New Bible Dictionary. He's a professor somewhere, as you would guess. So it's just so concise. The person of Jesus as Messiah. So when you're reading in the Gospels and you come across the kingdom, your kingdom come. He is the center of all that's announced, and it's concentrated in him in his present and future aspects alike. Okay. I'm very interested in application. Theology is good. Scripture is absolutely paramount, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, reading Scripture in a prayerful way for it to change you and working you, and then stepping out on that, stepping out into reality, stepping out and testing it, and walking in faith. That is absolutely key. Scripture knowledge is no good just bound up on the library shelf of your head. It's to be worked out in life. And so I'm very interested in application, but it is good to wrestle with some of these sort of things. So this thing about the kingdom. See, Jesus said, the kingdom is among you. And they must have gone, how is the kingdom among us? Because we understood that when the kingdom came, when Messiah comes, all this power from the Old Testament. Yeah, the whole thing was power. He's going to come with a mighty army. He's going to kill Romans. He's going to get shot at Rome. He's going to get rid of all this hassle and all this bondage we're in. But you, son of a carpenter, some aimless bloke wandering around with some gang of misfits. You're saying that if you're here, the kingdom's here. You can imagine how that would mess with your head. And then there's the aspects of the kingdom to come. There's the aspects that there will be a time when Christ will return and establish a kingdom, and there'll be a time of judgment. And there's all that. So the kingdom stretches right across time. But when that is starting to do your boxing, remember, it's about Jesus the Messiah. It's about Jesus the Messiah, his reign. And this is why we're in this very interesting and very privileged time where faith is so important. Because one day you won't need faith. You won't need faith. Christ will be there. The judgment seat. Things will be moving into the final stages. You won't need faith. We are in the time of faith now where we have to believe and say, yes, Lord, I believe that. Which is why we're stewards. And there's loads of pictures in the Bible where the guy goes away and the stewards are left looking after stuff and he comes back. And that's the picture of a steward. That's what you're called to do. And it doesn't seem sometimes like he's ever coming back, and it's been 2,000 years, and Paul had to start really talking in some of the epistles about, look, you know, but that's what we're called to do. It's a tough call, but it's a glorious one. It's a glorious one. To be able to tell people that there's a God who loves them, and he sent a Messiah called Jesus. Anyway, banging on. Don't exploit my 20 minutes. So let's just think about this idea of a kingdom, just to continue that last thing. What did he leave us? If you think someone's going to leave us a kingdom, don't you think there's going to be something tangible? If there's a founder of something, a founder of a religion, empire or something, it'd be good to leave something tangible. Like, I don't know, a couple of nice buildings, some empire or something. Something we can say, this is the kingdom of God and we're going to defend it. We know where we are. We know where we are. But he didn't. He didn't leave us any building. He didn't leave us an empire, anything we could see. No system built on the backs of the poor. What he did leave was a command. Now listen, guys. We call this the commission. And you know, I don't know if that's a great word. Because I don't know if that's actually got the power that it should have. Or perhaps our understanding is lacking. We are commissioned. It's a bit... To me, it's a bit mild. But do you know what it is? The king has said, do this. That's what the commission... That's the bottom line. When he said in Matthew 20, I'll look at that now, but basically the command is to repent, accept the rule of God in life, and live by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, instead of all those buildings and all the power and all the systems and everything, we might think it'd be good to leave for us to get on with stuff. What did he leave? A bunch of people on a mountain in Galilee with the Holy Spirit and a command. And he went. 2,000 years later. So, I've called it the commission there. That's before it started to annoy me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. That's it. Because in the sovereignty and wisdom of God, he said, that's all they need. That's all they're going to need. I've given them the Holy Spirit. I finished the work the Father sent me to do. Taking care of anything that would get in the way. Power of the enemy. Anything that would get in the way of the kingdom coming, I've taken care of through the cross. That's why, Rod, it's good to bring us back to the cross. And there it is. And that's where not his work ends, because he intercedes for us and so on, but that's where, if you like, if I can put it this way, his active bit on earth ends and he hands it on to us in that. Okay. Look, I'm not trying to break you here. I'm not trying to weigh you down. But we've got to get serious. We've got to get serious. You know, if you're working for a boss and you know you only have one message, he says, "Right, I'm waiting for 2 weeks." That you say, "Okay, I'm going to give that priority." So there's the commission. So that's got to be a backdrop. That's what he said to do. Anyway, I want to look back at this idea of the kingdom of God. I want to just talk to you a bit about Muslim encounters. Because you see, the whole thing about the kingdom of God, where the Spirit is moving, is that we often have no idea. Which is why we're told to seek it. And one thing that's always happened, really, is that the Spirit has moved in places where you don't expect, or whatever. And one thing that is going on at the moment, stay with me, one thing that's going on at the moment is that the Holy Spirit is working on those in the Islamic faith. And I would encourage you to read a book called A Wind in the House of Islam. And when it comes back to me, I can lend it to you. And it shows, and it's very well researched, what God is doing by Muslims all over the world having dreams of Jesus. From nowhere often. Which is why it is so important. Stay with me right now, stay with me. This is why it is so important that we have friendships. We must have friendships. We must build friendships. Because when people are impacted in some way with the gospel of the Holy Spirit, they will need someone to say to, "What's all this about?" Please, if you don't have anything else from today, ask God to help you to build friendships. I mean, we're being challenged as the church. I'll come back to this in a few weeks when we look at vision about the Islam, the community of Muslims around us. Dear, dear people. But anyway, I was at last Saturday, a week yesterday, I was at an Understanding Islam Day led by a preacher in what's now called Capital City Church now, City Temple as was. And there was a guy there. There were a number of what they call Muslim background believers, Muslims who come to Christ, who very often have a very difficult time. And any church that rejects them deserves to be shut. But, sorry, was a bit strong. But this guy got up And the pastor said, "Come and give your testimony." And he said he was from Somalia, and he was raised, his father was an imam, a teacher in the mosque. And he came to this country, and Jesus appeared to him in a dream. Just appeared to him in a dream. And he saw Jesus. And of course, there's a place for Jesus, that they have an understanding of Jesus in Islam as a prophet. And so he thought that encounter meant that he wasn't a good enough Muslim and he had to work harder as a Muslim. So he did. He started doing, you know, trying to do the five pillars and praying five times a day and being a good Muslim. I think that's just beautiful. Isn't it? Oh yeah, Jesus, one of our prophets, right? And Jesus comes back. And they have an encounter. He says, "Ah, right." And he set him free. He gave his life to Christ. And now he's part of the leadership down there. Sorry, God, these stories just blow my mind. Please read these. Please read these books. I know some of you are sort of following this thing, and I know it might not be for the whole church. Anywho, and that is the kingdom of God. Here's the point. That is the kingdom of God. No one went to them with the gospel. The church was not involved, but the Spirit was. And this is why we need to be seeking. And this will all, hopefully, in a few minutes, start to make sense for you individually. The other one I was going to, and I'm really grateful to you because I was going to talk about this fella, but you've heard about this guy. How crazy is that, Robert Jermaine Thomas? Do you know, in Korea they've been celebrating. In Wales we never heard of him until the Koreans came and told us about him. So, wow, really? And as he says, he killed on the beach. And actually the guy he gave his Bible to is his executioner. He gave him, and killed him, bang, and then that guy did the wallpaper and came to Christ. Now listen, guys, that's the kingdom of God, moving through the power of the Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And it took years and years and years and years for that growth. There's a growth of Christians in Korea. So the most recent thing shows that 30% of the population of 55 million are Christians. And it's about a sort of 20-10 split between Protestants and Catholics. So it's quite a growing through a century. And obviously they've got the same challenges as us now with this in the world we're living. But there's a seed, isn't it? Now, it's not just from him, other missionaries and stuff. But what a seed, what a growth. Right. Very quickly on this, right, very quickly. Holy people can miss the kingdom of God. John the Baptist had to be told, he said to Jesus, are you him, or is this someone else? And Jesus said, no, look at what's happening, it's me. The Pharisees missed it. Jesus was more angry at the Pharisees than anyone else. Why? Because they had, he said, you've got it, you know about it, you've studied the word, but you don't trust God, you don't work it out, you don't share it with others. It's all about control to you. It's all about control. So why I'm putting that point in there is, again, we have to seek. We have to seek and say, Father, what are you doing that I may be working with you in your kingdom? Because spiritual, maturity, the respect of many others is no guarantee. In fact, R.T. Kendall's got a fantastic quote that says, very often, the biggest resistance to a move of the Holy Spirit is the people who are at the leading edge of the previous move of the Holy Spirit. Because when you move in something, it's so easy to get set in it, which is why you've got to keep saying to God, melt me, show me. Right, here's where it just gets a bit personal for you guys. You carry, in a sense, you carry the kingdom. Because you are temples of the Holy Spirit. If you've given your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit has come in and filled you, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you feel like. Do you know, some days, I'll be honest with you, not great for a pastor to say this. Some days I wake up, I think, oh, I'm still saved. I just don't feel anything. It doesn't matter. After a cup of tea and read a few scriptures, I think, oh, yeah, I get it. Just be real. Just be real. I don't wake up going, oh, glory, hallelujah, man. You know, John's like, shut up. still sleeping. It's 5 o'clock. But I've learned, and obviously I'm an emotional guy, I have learned that that is not the guide. That is not the rudder. That is not the sail. It's what the word says about you. And the word says that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the mark of the King. And that's why, do you know what? You can go into places and you can bring the presence of God. You won't even know it. You can go into places and things can stir up. And it's because you don't even know it. But the mark of the King is on you. Because you are stewards of the Most High God. Simply by putting your faith in Christ. I've probably just said that. And that is why the key thing is attitude, obedience, and availability. Last week Mike Hobbs preached. He sort of shared on the commission and about stepping out. And he made this really good point that, again, theologically is quite difficult. Because in it is all things to do with the sovereignty of God and everything. And it's this thing. God can do stuff, clearly. And there comes a point where you need to do stuff. And then God can do more stuff. And God could go around you. But God wants to use you in his plan. He wants you to use you to do stuff. So he can do stuff. So an example may be, like Jan yesterday, in the checkout, and noticed that the woman has got gloves over her hands. She says, oh, are you cold? Is it cold? She said, no, I've got really, really bad skin problem. And the Holy Spirit prayed for her. And Jan's like, and there is the moment. The Lord will not force it. The Lord will not force it. You'll never get taken over by the Holy Spirit and just go and like a rope. He won't do that because he respects your free will. But what he wants you to do is obedience. Lay your free will on the altar. Lay it before him. He said, I'll do it. So Jan said, would you like me to pray for you? And the woman, as often happens, said, oh, a bit freaked, but oh, yes, please. Okay. And Jan prayed. What was her name? Hillary. Please pray for Hillary. And Jan goes back. Wouldn't that be amazing? So there are those steps where it's down to you guys. It's down to you. Okay. So that is the key. It's attitude, obedience, availability. I'm gonna finish there. Jackie, where's Jackie? Thank you, Jackie. Jackie's going to come and share something that she shared last week. But here's the challenge I want to leave you with, right? The kingdom of God is not swimming miles away. The kingdom of God is not some massive theological thing that you don't understand, so you can't be part of it. You are the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is being carried by you into places. The key is saying, Lord, what do you want to do here? It's just that. You do not have because you do not ask. The key is the Father would like us to be talking to him.